Christmas is a holiday where family and friends come together, relax, celebrate, eat, drink, and be merry. They reflect on the year just gone and look forward to the year to come. It is a peaceful time, albeit one that can have its fair share of undue stresses and strains. And whilst most people are relaxing with a few days off over the Christmas period, a lot of workers in essential services continue working, because despite people's hopes for a restful and happy Christmas, sadly, real-world problems still continue. For people working in the police, fire, ambulance and surf lifesaving, for the people in emergency departments, the people staffing hospitals and care homes, and of course, the people working in urgent care clinics, the Christmas and New Year period is just another day at work, and one that can often be busier than ever. If you're working during the festive season, thank you. I hope your shifts are pleasant and that you get to spend some of your time relaxing with your family. So Christmas in urgent care clinics is a busy time. We often find ourselves having to manage conditions that usually do not present to urgent care. Also, the holidays bring people from out of town, and in some cases, other countries, bringing with it unusual presentations and conditions, as well as incomplete medical histories, language barriers, unfamiliar medications, and other little nuances. Now, it was the night before Christmas, and whilst New Zealand was preparing for bed, I was at work in the urgent care clinic when we had a special visitor from out of town. This is the story of when Santa came to urgent care. Part 1. Hello, is it Santa Claus?
Yes.
Hello, my name's Dr. Melrose. Why have you come to urgent care today?
Well, what it is, Doctor, on my trip around the world, I started developing a fever and muscle aches. I then noticed this red rash on my leg. So, as I can't get into my own GP until after the holidays, I thought I'd stop by your urgent care.
Okay, well, that is why we're here, Santa, for all those urgent medical issues that cannot wait to see your regular GP. Now, that rash is interesting. It looks a little like a bullseye target.
Well, I thought it was more like Rudolph's nose, but I see what you mean.
Have you been bitten anywhere recently?
Well, now that you mention it, I did have one of those elves remove a tick from my leg 2 weeks ago.
Hmm, a tick. Well, Santa, with that rash and the tick bite from a deer, my suspicion is that this might be Lyme disease. But it's not very common here in New Zealand, so if you don't mind, I'm going to ask my colleague, Dr. Rob, who's from Canada, where Lyme disease is much more common, and get his opinion.
Ho ho!
Hello, it's Rob Everson here.
Hey, Dr. Rob, it's Guy Melrose here. I was wondering if I could trouble you, please, for some advice on a condition of a patient that I've just seen, please.
Sure, Guy. What seems to be the problem?
So I've just seen Santa Claus, and they've presented with a couple of weeks of feeling a bit lethargic and achy and a rash that looks like a target. And they report a few weeks ago having a tick removed from their body. So my working theory is Lyme disease, but it's not very common here in New Zealand. And given that your experiences in Canada will have had you run in with Lyme disease a little more, I wondered if you could tell me a bit about Lyme disease.
Oh, thanks a lot, Guy. Yeah, well, it's been a while because I've been down in New Zealand for the last few years, but I remember that I have seen a few cases when I did practice up in Canada, in Eastern Canada. You know, first of all, Lyme disease is spreading, and it's spreading around North America and Europe. The incidence is increasing, and of course, it's really important that we get the diagnosis right, and we get the diagnosis right early. We're seeing it quite a bit in Canada, Ontario, Eastern US, and even in Europe. We haven't really seen Lyme disease ever in New Zealand, of course, and you know, some people have said that we've seen it down in Australia, but those reports have never been verified. So, Guy, just to remember, it's caused by that spirochete, that Borrelia burgdorferi. I don't know if you remember that from medical school, but it's usually spread by that black-legged, ugly-looking tick, the Ixodes tick. And it sounds like, you know, Santa, you know, he could have Lyme disease. It usually, in the first, you know, acute form of Lyme disease usually presents, as you say, with a rash. And we remember that erythema migrans or that bullseye target type rash that we see. And the rest of the symptoms are more flu-like, with fever. But the acute phases usually occur, of course, in the summer months, which, you know, most people are out and about walking in the woods, and they'll come across these deer ticks in the summer months and develop flu-like symptoms in the summer months. So if you see a rash, fever, flu-like symptoms, and it's summertime, then you'd probably think Lyme disease. But of course, the thing that we want to make sure is that this Lyme disease is treated early and doesn't become disseminated, because disseminated Lyme disease is nasty. And that presents with bilateral Bell's palsy, for example, bilateral seventh nerve palsies. It can present as aseptic meningitis. It can present as heart block. And it can present as an acute monoarthritis. So Santa, you know, he's down here. He's come from the North American winter. Don't know where he'd get the deer tick this time of year. But obviously he took it out there 2 weeks ago. So it's certainly possible. But in all likelihood, you know, this time of year, it'd be pretty uncommon to be developing Lyme disease in the snow and winter months of the north. But, you know, if we wanted to test for it, you've got to realize that the testing and the lab results can all be very negative for the Borrelia to start showing seroconversion. So we usually talk to our local infectious disease or specialists or pathologists, and they'd probably start off with an enzyme immunoassay or immunofluorescence assay. And if that was positive, they'd probably go on and get an immunoblot testing and just looking for the IgM and IgG quantities there. But I guess the important thing to know is that, look, even if the test is negative and you suspect that it's Lyme disease, you should probably treat on speculation and then just repeat the tests about 2 weeks down the track. So, but there's no test of cure with Lyme disease. So even though you start the treatment, these people, you know, once they seroconvert and once they're indicating that there is Lyme disease on board, there's no test of cure. So it's not really that important to get follow-up blood tests on these people, long-term, that is.
So what is the treatment we should consider?
The first treatment is get that tick out of there as quickly as you can. It's probably best to do it in a clinic that has got surgical forceps, ones that you can get right down to the level of the skin and pull that tick out right from the level of the skin. Don't pour methylated spirits on these things like some people are doing. No, get that forcep and get those surgical forceps on that tick right away. I guess doxycycline is the antibiotic of choice. We usually use it somewhere between 10 and 21 days. Amoxicillin is a good choice for kids under the age of 8. I didn't know this, but doxycycline doesn't stain teeth in kids under the age of 8. Tetracycline does, but doxycycline doesn't. I didn't know that until I did this research. But I'm not suggesting we throw kids on doxycycline. Amoxicillin is probably a better choice. And of course, if you get into the more serious disseminated Lyme disease, you know, where these guys can get this meningoencephalitis, then we're looking at IV ceftriaxone and PNG and things like that. And complications like the Bell's palsies that we discussed and the carditis, they probably just get oral doxycycline as well. But I guess if you find the tick and it's less than 24 hours since the removal, the risk of getting this is very, very low. If it's greater than 24 hours, then it's probably a good idea to go to prophylactic doxycycline, and that's probably your best chance of preventing this Lyme disease from taking hold. And Guy, that's about all I know about Lyme disease. It's pretty uncommon here in the south, but it's certainly quite common, and it's probably one of the first things we think about in the northern climates when we see fever, rash, flu-like illness. Person's been out in the woods, doesn't even have to be an exposure to a tick, but we think about Lyme disease, it would be in our differential diagnosis and close to the top.
So it's worth New Zealand-based urgent care doctors thinking about it. If a Kiwi has been in the Northern Hemisphere summer and returned home, or a traveller coming here on holiday, having these symptoms in the presence of a bite, a tick bite. So if it's that they've contracted it there and then travelled here, they might present to our clinic with these symptoms and a rash. We should have that little bell going off. And
absolutely, when they're in the on the trails in these endemic areas, it's important to stay in the center of the trail and not to venture too far off the trail where these ticks are hiding. And at the end of the tramp or hike, just have a good look at your body. And they're often hiding behind the ear or in places that you can't see. But yeah, once you take your clothes off, just have a good check. And lo and behold, you might find one of these guys and just get it off you as quickly as you can.
And it would need us to ask that question, have you been tramping? Were you out in the middle of nowhere? Could you have had a bite? Do you remember removing a tick? They might not volunteer that information, so we've got to just think about it. So think Lyme disease. I'm grateful for you informing me about Lyme disease.
Well, Guy, say hi to Santa for me.
I will do. Okay, so Santa, I've had a chat to Dr. Rob, and it's possible this could be Lyme disease, although it's the Northern Hemisphere winter at the moment. So what we'll do is we'll run some tests, we'll start you on some medication, I'll arrange for those tests to be sent through to your normal GP, and I'd like you to follow up with them as soon as you get home.
Well, I'm so glad I came and saw you, Doctor. Thank goodness for urgent care. Now have yourself a lovely Christmas. Na dolly llawen, pawb.
So Santa Claus had some tests, and it was not Lyme disease after all. But if you see a traveller from overseas with a history of a possible tick bite, symptoms of aches and fever and erythema migrans, don't forget to think Lyme disease. And if in doubt, ask your local infectious disease service. So Santa went on their way around the world and finished delivering all the presents that Christmas Eve. For those of you detecting a slight Welsh lilt in Santa's accent there, apparently Santa did a toy-making apprenticeship in Aberystwyth in 1888, and just never lost the accent. Now, I wonder if Santa will ever have need of an urgent care clinic again. Join us in the next podcast to find out. Thanks for listening.